first excited to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series, owner of Hollow Man Publishing and American Media. Paul, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
Very pleased today to have with us a film director, a TV executive, a writer, a producer, a director. I mean, this man does it all. So welcome, Reverend Karim.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. My name is pronounced Bhavand. Bhavand.
Bhavand, sorry.
No worries.
Bhavand Karim, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Bhavand, let's talk about you. Because we only have you for a short period of time. You got some huge news happening for you, right? With your production company and what you're doing.
Right. Back in early February, I signed an equity partnership with a group out of New York known as Aletheia Capital. And they've agreed to commit to raise $100 million over the next 5 years to help us produce a slate of original films that are helmed by some wonderful up-and-coming directors, all of them who have established themselves through, you know, Sony's directing program or the Sundance Institute, and have, you know, either released their first feature in theaters or on the cusp of releasing their first feature. So a wonderful group of talent, some great actors and storytellers attached. And now with the financing, we're really looking forward to what the next 5 years are going to bring for us.
That's fantastic. What do you think those stories brought that made those, without giving those stories away, got equity for these films?
Well, that's a great question. You know, the way that we do business is a little bit different. To start off, you know, we're artist-owned. I began in this industry as a writer and director. So I believe in the artist maintaining a share of equity and creative control as they move through, developing their projects. And really, I want to be as supportive as possible in bringing authentic stories with diverse protagonists to the screen. Not necessarily that we're decentering mainstream white narratives, but you know, all of these directors are people of color or women, they're minorities, and the stories are minority-centered. And because part of our equity fund, one of the members of our board of directors is located in Europe, we raise a lot of European capital, which the European investors tend to align with these stories a little bit better than the American investors do. The Europeans are more inclined to tell diverse stories of people of color. So I think that all of those things have really helped the momentum of this.
So this is a mission of yours from since starting to look at providing new stories that are not going to film or streaming and stuff, right? Sounds
definitely,
like.
Definitely. You know, my background, I really started as a journalist, and my first films were documentaries. And so the values of my creative work have always been rooted in, you know, social equality, equity, economic balance and justice, and, you know, racial diversity. So if you go back and you look at the early documentaries that I directed, you'll find basically the same foundation for the narratives that we're trying to produce now.
That's impressive. The mission, didn't happen overnight. It's not an overnight success for you. You've been doing this for a while before getting. You
know, it's funny, you know, the other half of my career has been teaching. And so it's been split between the entertainment industry and higher education. And I was at Emerson directing their studio TV program and producing a show for WGBH in Boston. And I really felt like I hit a glass ceiling, right? Because I didn't want to be working those crazy set hours into my 50s. And I thought, there's got to be a way to coalesce all of my networks under the umbrella of a consultancy. So that's what I did. And it took me about a year to convince people to commit to what I was trying to build. I left Emerson in late 2019 and I landed in Los Angeles just in time for the pandemic to shut everything down.
Oh man.
It took another 2 years before really I was able to create an executive summary with projections and forecasts based on the slate that I wanted to produce, and then a attract investors and make some small investments in films to kind of prove my mettle a little bit, and then signing this new equity partnership. It's really been a process of, I would say, 7 years, maybe 8 years since this idea formulated in 2017 to where we are now.
And I think it just keep going, right? And there was one of my film guy who's going to be doing it, Left Terrace, he basically told me, he said, you know what, this is a great opportunity for any documentary or filmmaker with, there's not that many made ever compared to other platforms. Think about podcasts, think about, you know, all the other types of genres, things, social media, how many social media accounts are, there's not that many films and documentaries made every year.
Yeah,
there's not a huge competition with all the streaming networks. There's an opportunity for anybody to be a filmmaker, a documentary person. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no, I think there are more opportunities now than ever before. You know, the nature of gatekeeping is really interesting. When you talk to, for example, festival programmers, et cetera, you know, they'll receive 5,000 submissions at a great festival and accept maybe 200 out of those 5,000. So depending on which perspective you take, it is really difficult to break in. But on the other hand, I think creative people have more access than ever to tools, to platforms, to talent, to distribution networks, to create their own films and get them made and build an audience in an organic way. And I just think that's the nature of industry. That's where creativity and commerce always intersect, is you're going to have much, much more material and media than audiences can ever consume. So you need some filtering process in there. That makes sense. But, you know, that I think encourages the best filmmakers to produce the best work, and those people tend to rise to the top.
Yeah, and there's so many opportunities to utilize film, right? It's not just going to the big places or go to a streaming network. There's an opportunity to tell your voice
in film. Yeah,
definitely. Film, yeah, and that's so much out there compared to short form stuff and all these things that are out there. Definitely to be involved. And I guess the mission, where do you see yourself now? Do you see yourself ever getting an Academy Award or Emmy, or do you have any of those goals now when you're getting involved in this kind of stuff that's happening?
You know, I tend not to think about the finish line. I tend to think about the next steps ahead of me. But obviously, you know, my team and I are very ambitious, and the films that we are seeking to produce are all really unique creative endeavors in the way, in the sense that, you know, they are meant to explore cinema as an art form, right? We're not aiming for projects just to be commercially successful. We really want them to be critically successful. So, you know, if the powers that be at the Academy take notice of our work, that's great. But everyone on my team are artists in the sense that we believe in creating art for its own sake. So the fact that these films will exist, I think, will be a testament to our success, you know, and bringing the stories that we want to tell to larger audiences.
And this will be the first time. He said, if you were teaching and producing, you've not, have you, how many different things have you had go to screen and stuff like that in your career?
Yeah, quite a few. You know, I had my first short film in Cannes back in 2011. And
wow,
Warner Brothers reached out to see who I was and what other ideas I had. And, you know, in that time, and that's a great question too, I found teaching to be a fantastic foundation for what I want to achieve, because, you know, the university in a sense is the marketplace of free ideas. There's so much innovation, and these film programs, they will give you time off, funding, you know, facilities, equipment, locations, an army of students for you to hire to work on your programs. Right. There's a lot of support. So I've thrived personally when I've been part of an institution, but that's not for everyone. I know a lot of people in the business who have been offered teaching positions and turned them down because they can't deal with academic politics. So I think it just depends on the person.
And this is not your first time at Cannes then, going to Cannes?
No, this would be my second time. My second time.
And what blows you away the first time you're at Cannes? As a filmmaker,
you know, the production values and the way that, you know, The festival is set up. Like, it's actually a relatively small community, and there is a strong opportunity to mingle with people who really have a lot of influence or are, you know, legitimately famous, etc. I mean, you can run into them and have conversations with them to a degree. So I was very impressed by the access that's there, and, you know, the trouble that they go to try to make it accessible for people who are new in the industry.
Do you have any projects right now you're promoting that you would like to talk about?
You know, I would love to share more details about these films.
You shouldn't do that yet. Don't do that. Definitely the money.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, I can say they're very exciting. And we have some that are based on true stories that I'm sure if I shared, your audience would be like, oh, I know, you know, the subject of that film, like I'm familiar with it. And we're also looking at developing documentaries and a couple of television series. You know, part of what the funding board that is financing these films, part of their goal is philanthropy. So it does align with a lot of social causes. And I think you're going to see a diverse spectrum of work emerge from this new partnership.
All right, we're going to see an Academy Award with you. I'm going to say it first, and then you definitely are putting the work in, and I'm really impressed. Where can people check you out? Best place?
Oh, our website, Cine. It's cine-ic.com.
Okay, awesome. Appreciate it, sir. Thanks again for stopping by.
I really appreciate your time. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.